Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Aloha Friday. Welcome to Talking Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth. It's July 21st. It is a wonderful, beautiful day in Southern California. I hope it is nice wherever you are. Today we're going to be joined by director Russell Emmanuel from the film, the indie film that he has made, Occupants. Russell's down in San Diego at Comic-Con, which we all know is this just gargantuan monster, no pun intended, of everyone who loves comic book movies, comic books, everything under the sun, merges on San Diego. And I've never gone because I personally, I hear it's awesome. I have a lot of friends that go. I have some buddies that work on stuff, and this is the first time that we're getting to talk to a filmmaker with a filmmaker that's screening one of his films there. So this is really awesome for us. Plus, today, for any new listeners, welcome. This is our first live show where we've told the audience to please listen, and we've sent it out there to people. So we're jazzed with that, and we're gonna, you know, this is like a coffee shop. We call it the virtual coffee shop. We're here to talk movies. We're here to talk music. Obviously, comic books, anything goes. That's our motto. We're not censored, but all opinions of the show are mine, and opinions of the guests are the guests. So with that, our guest is calling in right now. Let me bring him in. Aloha, Russell.
Hello.
Hey, how's
aloha.
It going?
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Doing good. How's San Diego?
San Diego is pretty cool. I meant not cool in terms of temperature, but cool in terms of the Comic-Con. I was there yesterday, and it was an incredible event. Unfortunately, temperature-wise, I think it's going to be 100 degrees today.
Oh, yes, and it burns down in that convention center gas lamp area.
Yes, and I'm going to be dressed in a Star Trek outfit. Unfortunately, I'm dressed in the Voyager outfit, and if you know anything about that outfit, most of it is black. So
oh.
It's going to be attracting heat.
Good choice, good choice. And of course,
yeah,
for all the Trekkies, the new Star Trek movie hits today, right? So
that's right.
Yes, that's a great day for you guys. First of all, I wanted to say congratulations on the film and the film's success.
Thank you. I appreciate
and,
it.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. When Russell told me that he was playing the Comic-Con, that really showed me the quality that I was in for when I got the screener. I know they just, some films only show trailers or some films just show a clip. So, Russell, why don't you tell us again the time that it's playing tonight?
Well, it's not playing tonight. It's actually playing tomorrow night at 10:45.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Tonight is kind of a reconnaissance. Actually, today is a reconnaissance. So is yesterday. Basically, I'm scouting around, finding where the venue is. If you know anything about Comic-Con, it's very big. So there's the convention center, and now they expanded to the Marriott, which is right next to it. And
oh,
our film
really?
Is screening at the Marriott. So,
oh, wow. That's a beautiful Marriott. My friend's wedding party was there.
It's incredible. It's we're in the downstairs ballroom. I think it's called the Grand Ballroom.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for all you people that go to San Diego, just know that's right there by the gas lab district, a couple blocks over from where the Padres play, for those of you that are just go to San Diego for one space. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Russell.
Oh, no. Basically, it's playing tomorrow night at 10:40. 10:40 p.m. in the Marriott in the downstairs room. I think it's like C23, was it? If you go to occupantsthemovie.com, that's occupantsthemovie.com, that's our official website, you will see all that information if you go to our Facebook link on there. And basically, it's kind of an unspoken rule, but even people without badges, they can see the film, but only the film. They just have to say they're seeing occupants. And again, it's an unspoken rule. And we just hope everybody shows up, because what's going to happen is I'm going to be there. I'm the director of the film. The producer, Howard Nash, is going to be there. The writer, Julia Camera. The lead actress, Brianna White. And Robert Picardo, who's our main supporting actor in the film, Robert Picardo of Star Trek Voyager. He is in our film, and he is going to be there at the panel at the beginning. So I hope everybody's able to join us. And, it's an 81-minute science fiction found footage horror film. And, it's screening at 10:40. There's no other events happening at that time, so get a drink, stop on by, and watch a wonderful film.
Yeah, and San Diego, there's no shortage of drinks. So
no,
please follow the director's advice. There should be an alcohol river running through the town. One question I had was, if being I assume you're a certifiable Trekkie, what was it like to have Mr. Picardo in your film?
Oh, it's it's very humbling. It's very surreal. He's a very nice guy, and this is actually my fifth time working with him. The first
fantastic.
I worked with him, the first time was on a feature film called PJ. It also had John Hurd, the Home Alone dad, and Vincent Pastore. And just FYI, I mentioned the producer, Howard Nash. Well, he is the reason why Picardo was on board. So Howard and I have been making every film with Picardo, basically, we worked together on. So that was, back in, 2006. I was very nervous back then. My first feature film, I didn't know what to expect. But, I guess Howard was happy because he gave me Chasing the Green, the second one, which also had William Devane, Jeremy London, and Ryan Hurst. And then the third one was the Legends of Nathaya, which has Picardo in the main role. Also has John Hurt again and Teresa Russell. And now we did a documentary called Restoration of Paradise on the Bolsa Chica Wetlands, which is near my house in Huntington Beach. And he narrated this, Picardo. And now we're doing Occupants.
Okay.
So Bob is he's a wonderful human being. He's a wonderful actor. He gives very good suggestions. Over time, I realized how he likes to operate. So, for instance, when we had the Picardo on Occupants, it was like day four of the shoot, and I knew that he would want to work with the other two actors. In this case, Brianna White, who plays Annie Curtis, and Michael Pagliacci, who plays Neil Curtis. And they're very great actors, too. So what Picardo likes to do is, when he's in makeup wardrobe, he likes to go over the script with them. And he's there only half a day. That's what we had. So he likes to go over the script. And so I asked my first assistant director, Clifford Brakefield, to call them in, Brianna and Mike, 30 minutes prior to when they were supposed to come in, because I wanted them there. I wanted them to meet Picardo. I wanted them to talk. I wanted them to go over the script, and I was there too. Now, if you see, when we have the DVD Blu-ray, once we get distribution, which right now we have two offers, you will be able to see some of this footage on the behind the scenes documentaries that we have. So we went over the script. He's very, every role he does, he puts his heart into it. And I like that. So he's like, Russ, what about this? What about that? And I could say yes or no. I said, well, I think that's more natural, or no, it doesn't fit with the story, and he's very amenable to that. And we went over that for 30 minutes. He got into his role. He did his job, and we called rap. That's a rap for Robert Picardo. And, I'm looking forward to working with him again.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, speaking of, since you're at Comic-Con and I don't know. I'm so sorry. When everyone who's outside the culture says geeks, is that a derogatory term to the people that go there?
Not at all. In fact, on my
Okay.
Instagram photo yesterday, I said, "Get your geek on," and you saw me in my Star Trek outfit. Not at all.
Okay. So
Great term.
since you said geek, Jeremy London, I'm a dazed and confused geek. I know it would be I know it would be illegal to hold a dazed and confused convention, and it would probably bring 5 times what Comic-Con brings. But that's pretty cool, Randall Pink Floyd. I like that.
Funny.
I had a question for you about the directing. I really suggest that people check this out because whether you're a sci-fi horror fan or you're just interested in films, this was a really I don't want to please I'm gonna say reality TV, but please don't anyone associate the quality of the film with that phrase. What made you think of this choice of direction? I've actually never seen a film that went the way you went.
You're talking about the story, you're talking about just our camera
Well,
angles?
the kind of the way it like it had that rea to me, it felt like I was watching a reality TV show, but
Yep.
it was good and intriguing. So what made you think of that style of, I mean, did you consciously think, I want to make this feel like, without giving too much away, like there's something within something?
Yes. Yes, I did. In fact, I wanted the actors to break the fourth wall because I wanted them to stare at us, the audience, and I wanted the audience to realize they're voyeurs. In fact, that's a major point in the film itself. So again, yes, I understand we're treading into spoiler territory here for the film, but there is a parallel character, and I told the actress, Brianna, stare at the camera, stare at the camera. You own it. And by and
Okay.
guess what? Every reaction we got, and I cannot spoil this. I cannot. I really cannot. I can give away the scene. It's
Oh no, don't spoil.
69,
No, we never expect
but I will
spoilers.
not spoil it. But every time scene 69 plays, and I think you know what I'm talking about, we get gasps
Right.
every single time. Why? Because this actress, she owned the camera. Not the actress, the character that she plays. And I specifically
Right.
wanted them to do that. So yes, for sure, we are the voyeurs. I wanted us to feel uncomfortable in a sense that we're watching them. You know, there is
Yeah,
another
that
scene
was.
which I give away. Basically, you know, this couple is watching the parallel selves make love, and at some point, the wife gets very uncomfortable. You know, and it's like you're watching yourself, basically. So, you know, it brings into a question about, I guess, was it, is it a conflict of interest? Do you start doubting yourself? Is this even right? I mean, because we're watching ourselves, isn't that okay? You know, there are a lot of questions that come
Wait,
into play
hello,
with
are you
this.
there? Oh, I'm
Yes, I'm
sorry,
here.
I'm sorry, you broke up for about 3 seconds. Can you repeat that?
Oh, because I glitched to the parallel world.
Oh, okay.
And I
That's
glitched
ironic.
back, like in the film. No, what I'm saying is basically it's like this couple's watching themselves, right? Make love, right? But it's their parallel selves. So is that right or wrong? You know? And it brings into questions of ethics, morality, and self-doubt and self-conflict. So, you know, the script itself was done by a Writers Guild of America writer. Her name is Julia Camera. And Julia wrote a really brilliant script. And this woman, she wrote the scripts for two films, one called Open Road and another one called Area Q. And they had actors like, was it Josiah Washington, Juliette Lewis, and Andy Garcia. So this is her third film in terms of
Oh,
a
okay.
feature
I was
screenplay.
gonna say the
Yeah.
script was very subversive, was very these aren't spoilers, but for those of you that like those films where there's a for 2 seconds it takes a nice little social punch or pokes you in the eye with something that you don't usually talk about, that's what I really appreciated. And my next question, so I'm glad that you mentioned it, was going to be about the writing, because I thought the writing, what I really appreciated about your choices as a director was that you didn't go down the standard sound effects. You didn't go down the standard, you know, we've all seen Scream. We've all seen Nightmare on Elm Street. We've all seen, I mean, I'm sorry, I shouldn't mention the classics that are by great filmmakers. But, you know, we all pretty much, when we see a horror film, sci-fi, whatever, we expect certain things. And so when there was those little, hey, wait a minute, this is what I would see in a social drama, or this is kind of a romantic comedy, I really appreciated the way you guys were able to merge, not just staying in the genre that you were overall. I always love when a film can respect that there's A to Z in film, and not just go, oh, we need the scream and we need the laugh and then we need the blood, you know, like. That's what always bugs me about genre, any genre. It could be Westerns. It could be, we all know, I mean, what is it with Westerns? We all know there's going to be a shootout. How many times can it be in the middle of the street? You know what I mean? So it's like,
exactly.
That's what I really, really appreciated.
Well, you know, again, the script by Julia, she wrote a really wonderful script. And, you know, I worked with the DP editor of the film, Emil Harris, and we decided on the look, you know, with the production designer, Tatiana Kolonov. We decided on the art, you know, with the costumes by Nina Minnelli. So everything about it, you know, it was a collaboration. So we brought Julia's script to life. And, of course, the actors, of course, you know, it took them to make that happen. And the music, same thing. I love film music. I grew up on the music of John Williams, so I like leitmotifs or thematic development. So I would put that into my film. So just like the characters, the music has an arc. So in this case, you know, it's a found footage film, right? So initially, I was toying with the idea, like Cloverfield, where there is no music. If you watch that film until the end credits.
Right.
So I was toying with that idea,
okay.
And it wasn't going to happen. So the next step was start out with no music, but then bring it in subtly. And by the end, it's like a big crescendo, like a climax. And that's how we played it.
No, that was a great choice. That was a great choice. I love music and film myself. That's why I'm such a big fan of Cameron Crowe movies. I think he always has the perfect soundtrack that meets like what the characters are going through. And when you mention John Williams, I mean, who doesn't love the Superman March? Who doesn't love Indiana Jones or Star Wars, which, you know, musically, when you really listen to or hum, are like, what I wouldn't know the technical orchestra term, but bar, chord, instrument, whatever it is, they're all three basically the same song. He just changes like a, you know, because I've caught myself humming Superman and then it changes to Indiana Jones without my knowledge. And I'm like, wow, you know, John Williams basically wrote one song, made two little changes and turned it into three different scores.
Well, I mean, you just hear what? Dun, 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 dun.
Right,
you know,
right.
Jaws, yeah. Right away. You hear it, dun, 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 right here, Superman. I mean, it's just it's very special. But you know, look, we're talking about John Williams, but even, you know, Vasilis, my composer, he had this, like, suspense motif, and it's just perfect. And I keep humming it. It's dun, 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 like that. And that's all. It's very simple, and yet it just conveys this horrific suspense that happens in the latter half of the film, and I cannot give it away, but... It is very particular.
What we can talk about is. Oh, go ahead. Well, what we can talk about is that if you could please just tell us, this film has had extreme success. So if you're one of those people because we, you know, you and I both know, Russell, that we have those people that go, well, I only watch something that's won an award, or I only watch something that's played in New York. So can you just maybe for like a minute tell us, I mean, this is like a train of success. You're even playing in San Antonio this weekend. So what do you want to say about that
real
quick?
Yeah, San Antonio Film Festival was a major one for us. I was very, very, very happy to get into that one. You don't know how ecstatic I was, because that's one of the higher-tiered film festivals. It's now in its 22nd year. It will play on July 28th at 5 p.m. I'm going to be flying into Austin to meet some friends, and then we're going to be driving there to San Antonio, and that'll be on July 27th. So I will be there. I will be there for the screening, and I will be there through August 1st. So if anybody is in the Austin or San Antonio area, I would love to meet you. I don't know if you know Paul. I'm very personable on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. I just love, you know, going to these events. It for me as a filmmaker, you know, I mean, why make this film? I want people to be able to enjoy it, you know? And that's where the term entertainer, I guess, or entertainment comes from. Well, if I cannot entertain somebody, then I don't think I have done my job. So, I'm going to be around, and that's San Antonio. Again, we're playing San Diego on Saturday, San Diego Comic Con. We've already won two major awards. One at the Phoenix Comic Con Film Festival, we won the second place prize at the festival out of 177 films. And then we won the Best Director Award at the Florida SuperCon Film Festival, which Robert Picardo showed up to, by the way. So
excellent.
It's been doing well. It's been doing well. We've been getting good reviews. You know, we're going to also now play at the Action on Film International Film Festival in September. And I just got word that we're going to be at the Louisville. It's called the Louisville International Film Festival. It's in Louisville, Kentucky, and that's in October. So, it's been doing well. We've been offered a panel at the Rose City Comic Con, which is one of the major conventions in the Northwest United States. And we have a comic book tie-in that's being drawn by a DC Marvel Comics artist right now called Dave Beatty. So Dave Beatty's drawing it as we speak, being edited by my associate producer, Eric Kask. And, you know, I mean, we'll see how far this film goes. But from what I'm hearing from people is they want to see a sequel or a series or more comic books or something, just something to continue the story. And again, I don't want to spoil the film, but I paid particular attention to the end credits. So if anybody watches the film, just stick around for the end credits and you'll know what I'm talking about. And you'll know why people are talking about a sequel or a comic book or any other such, I guess, branching off of this film.
Well, yes. And I, of course, as the host of the show, I always have to walk the line of that I've seen the film. So it's usually why I let the filmmaker lead what they want to discuss or not. But I, of course, recommend it. And, for me, just very, very quickly, being a filmmaker myself, it's always, you know, that this weird kind of tightrope walk of, you know, do you review it as just to review it because you're going to be talking with the director, or do you, you know, you can't turn off what you know as a director. You can't turn off what you know about filmmaking. You can't turn off references a director might be making, or you can watch something and go, oh, this director loves Akira Kurosawa. I appreciated that I was able to, of course. I mean,
I do.
it's like saying Star Wars people like Yoda. I mean,
well, Star Wars was indebted to Kurosawa.
Oh yes, of course, the Hidden Fortress, and I was just explaining that to my father the other night, and he said, he said, I'm not, and my dad loves film, has been watching over a half century. He says, I what do you mean samurai movie Star Wars? I said, Dad, samurai sword, lightsaber, ideology and loyalty and honor, the Force. And so I just thought that was brilliant. So people, you need to see and know that that George Lucas did take heavily from Akira Kurosawa, who, of course, has always just talked about Rashomon or Ron, but he has a whole slew of films. But what I wanted to say, Russell, is how you mentioned you like to be with the people and meet the people, is that Russell and I have been literally for 6 months or more working to coordinate schedules to do this episode. And I'm only mentioning this to say that it shows me what kind of filmmaker. I was not surprised when the film was great, and then when the film had a passion to it, because many filmmakers, because I've had experience in newspapers and movie magazines, if they don't get their press now, they're gone. And if they don't get what they want in 2 seconds, you know, then you never hear from them again. So I want to say, Russell, that we appreciate the show and our production team. We appreciate you providing us with a film that, you know, gosh, is playing the San Diego Comic-Con. We all know how huge that is in the business. And just that patience and being able to work with you, and just, you know, for sharing the film with us and letting us have that experience.
Well, thank you for watching. I do appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was great. And so what we usually do as we come towards our wrap time is, you know, you've mentioned the screenings and the website, but if you want to plug your Facebook or your Twitter or your Instagram or any of those, we give the guests the chance to make sure that the listeners know any social media presence that the guest has.
Okay. Well, all of that you mentioned is accessible through occupantsthemovie.com. It literally is accessible. You could see the logos. So
okay.
If you want to go to our Facebook page, you just go to occupantsthemovie.com. It's right there. And just click on it, and please like us. We just hit over 5,000 likes yesterday, so we're very appreciative. Well, thank you. Twitter, same thing. Instagram, same thing. And even YouTube, if you want to subscribe. So you just go to occupantsthemovie.com. It's all right there. And the comic book tie-in, too, by the way.
Excellent. That's awesome. Well, we wish you continued success, and we of course let all guests know they're welcome back. We call our guest Talking Pictures cousins. So if you've ever been on the show, you can come back if you want to review a film. If you attend a festival as a festival goer and you just want to tell us about a festival, or if you want to come on and debate the Oscars the day after the Oscars, it's all open. And of course, we want to hear about your next film or when you get your DVD release. Come on and tell us about the date. So just know from our side, this isn't a, hey, we talked about Comic-Con, nice to meet you, laters.
Well, I appreciate that. I would love to come back. And
excellent.
You know, I had a great time talking with you, Paul. It was a very wonderful conversation. So thank you.
Thank you, too. And you have a great day and stay cool.
And aloha again.
Oh, yes. Aloha to you, too. Have a great screening.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
We thank film director Russell Emanuel for stopping by. His film's going to be playing San Diego Comic-Con 10:40 tomorrow night, Saturday the 22nd, at the San Diego Marriott, which is by the Convention Center, down by the Gas Lamp District, which I love San Diego. It is just, oh, I love San Diego. My heart is in San Diego. With that, I'm going to sign off. It is morning, but if you listen to this later, whether it's morning, afternoon, or night, as always, we thank you for tuning in. The entire production team thanks you. Whatever you're going to do today, Make sure and watch a good movie. Aloha.